It is Friday, and we are talking food and the new Michelin-starred restaurant. Joining us is Richard Wolak, editor and publisher of VancouverFoodster.com. Richard, great to chat with you again.
Hi, Jill. It's a fun topic for sure.
And so exciting, these awards. So what happened here?
So a little bit different than last year, because last year was the inaugural Michelin Guide for Vancouver, and everyone was super excited. So I was at a ceremony last night, and it was a fun ceremony for sure, but a quite different feeling because they have the pretty much all of the winners that won last year are carried over through this year. But they only added one new one-star restaurant to the mix. So kind of a surprise. A lot of the media were like, how come there's only one? But then apparently in Toronto, they only added two this year. So I guess there's kind of they're kind of going along the lines of that. The restaurant that won was called Okea. It's a new omakase Japanese restaurant that had opened up in Yale Town very recently, about 6 months ago. So also another surprise is like, how do they end up winning so soon, right? They got a one-star award, like, so right off the bat. Apparently the inspectors were overwhelmed. They love the place and they're raving about it. And that's why they got number one. But they also had four new awards this year for Michelin in Vancouver. And that same restaurant won Outstanding Service Award for Front of House Team. So obviously, you know, they resonated for sure. Now, I have not eaten there, so I can't exactly speak for it. But I know it's a very expensive restaurant. It's $300 per person minimum in that restaurant. So it's not for everyone, of course, because not that many people can afford it. But I think if you're American, you're coming to Vancouver, your dollar is stronger. I think that's probably a positive one for them. But I can't, you know.
It sounds like, too, the description of it is it's the experience. You're going there, obviously, for the good food, but you're also going there for the experience of what it's like.
Correct. So that's the wow factor for them. And then, you know, it's like, at least it's great to see that all those restaurants that won last year are in the, you know, same sink going forward. Because I know Michelin has done very well for all those restaurants. All of them have saw an uptick immediately last year when they were announced.
I was going to ask you that, if it does make a big difference, because I know there was so much attention paid to this and so much excitement about Michelin stars. I was curious if that is something that the restaurants then see, the initial excitement about it, or if that does carry on and continue on.
They do. And I asked several of them, and I said, like, what happened to you? And they said, right away, we saw an uptick. And then other restaurants that, see, they added something different this summer. This, I think it was July. They added a bunch of restaurants to the Michelin recommended list, which were new ones. And I asked a couple of those, like, have you guys seen an uptick? And they said right away, the minute they were added to that Michelin guide, within a week, they said all these new people coming in. And one restaurant in Yale Town told me that they had a family come in and they said, they told them, you know, our plan is to eat at every single Michelin recommended restaurant in Vancouver, and we're going to do two a week until we get through them all. Like, that's pretty impressive. And it's a local family, so it's not like somebody coming in from out of town, but people really are following it.
And I understand, too. Yeah, that's great. And what a great thing if you can afford to do that and do that. What a great way to kind of have a culinary tour and experience. What other types of awards and what other types of things were the Michelin inspectors sharing?
So some of the awards, this is a really exciting one for Vancouver. The Michelin Young Chef Award, it was presented to Chef Warren Chow of Wildlight Kitchen and Bar. He's an incredible chef, and it's great that they saw that, and they awarded him that. That restaurant was given a Michelin recommend this summer. That's the restaurant that's owned by Jimmy Patterson Group. And the chef, he was just thrown. He had no idea what to expect, and he got it. So that's great to see. Then also they had a exceptional cocktails award that went to Max Curzon Price of Suyo on Main Street, the Peruvian restaurant. And then there was a sommelier award to Kelsey Jones of Burdock & Company. So one thing that I thought, because there was one restaurant on my mind that I thought for sure is going to come away with a one-star Michelin, and was Suyo. And a few people thought the same thing, and they got overlooked. They did not win that one star. They are Michelin recommend, of course, but they did not get the one star. And then it's great to see that Max got the cocktail award.
And what is it about Suyo that's special that you and others thought that one would get the star?
An incredible restaurant. It's modern Peruvian. They do everything so well for an independent restaurant, hardworking crew. It just, you know, when you eat there, you just like, wow, what an incredible time. So I thought the servers, the food, everything there is top notch. So I just thought for sure they're going to win it, but they didn't. So I don't know what these inspectors look for, really. I cannot figure it out. And a lot of people have no idea, but there's obviously they're going for something. Something special that, you know, some of these restaurants have and some of the restaurants don't.
Looking at the list, though, too, and I know that Kwon Jude, a restaurant that got the Michelin star last time, which people might know it, it's on the corner of Canby and 12th. It used to be a white spot a long time ago. And I know it got a lot more attention after getting the star. I see that on this list, the Bib Gourmand list, Seaport City, which is a newer restaurant, kind of in the same area. Mm-hmm. But like you said, these are places where it's hundreds of dollars. They're not places that anybody can go in, really, and check out the food and be part of the experience, which I understand that's why Michelin's giving out these stars. But it's also, I find it a little bit, just that disconnect between the restaurants and what people are actually, where people are going in the city.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you on that one. Because if you go to some other cities, especially in the United States, and you look at some of the Michelin restaurants there, they're not all high-end. There's a lot of them that are, you know, in the casual kind of category, and they just do everything right. But in this case, it seems like it comes off a bit different because, yeah, you're right. These are like high-end restaurants, maybe not all of them, but of course the Guangzhou one is, and then a lot of people can't really afford to eat there, but they have a crowd, so people are definitely going. But then, you know, for the Okea, it's the same thing. It's up there. I know Published on Main, their prices went up the minute they got that one star last year. So, I mean, that's happening, of course. I mean, I guess that's the way it goes, but yeah, a lot of these are higher end, and I'm surprised a little bit. I thought they would actually pick something maybe a little bit more affordable for most people that can go and try. But I guess, you know, tourism is it. So it is about tourism, and it is about the dollars coming to Vancouver and people coming to Vancouver. So I guess that's sort of where it goes. One thing I actually am interested in seeing is apparently, like, Vancouver was just Vancouver, you know, a part of Michelin, and Toronto is the same way. But there is talk now of Richmond getting in on it, getting somehow a collaboration with Destination Vancouver and having Richmond involved next year. I think that would make a huge difference, especially for a lot of the Chinese restaurants in Richmond being able to be awarded. So hopefully that will come.
Right. And like you said, too, even if it's focused or geared to tourists, at least it gets people talking about the city and it gets people talking about the restaurants and knowing that even if you're not maybe going to the Michelin restaurants, there are so many great places that you can check out and look into.
Right. Exactly. So there are even one thing I did like that the summer that they did, when they added some new restaurants, they added a real good diverse ethnic mix, which they didn't do in the first go. So you had like Karma Indian Bistro in Kitsilano added. You had a Japanese spot on Hastings Street. So it was great to see. And then Sushi Hill, of course, on Main Street. So it was great to see that they added some more diversity. They say that there's 21 cuisines represented in their entire lineup in Vancouver now. So that's a fair bit. So hopefully that part will grow over time.
Anything else stick out to you as far as the awards and who's being recognized and maybe who's not?
Well, I mean, of course there's people that who've not, because I wonder that. I mean, I was talking to other media afterwards and kind of resonating the same thing. They were a little shocked because it looked like they were rushing them off the stage towards the end. And we all thought, oh, that's probably because they're going to add some new awards and new Michelin, you know, one star. And that wasn't the case. They just like, cheers, that's great. And we're like, okay. So we expected more. Like, why isn't there more? So I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's just something that takes time. And you know, other cities around the world have had it for many years. Vancouver's still very, very new, 2 years. So perhaps things take a while to go. But of course, yeah, there's people in my mind that I thought for sure would have been recognized and they weren't. So there's obviously, you know, they're looking for something different. You know, all these other awards in the city, Van Mag and all these other awards, they have different criteria for who wins awards and how people win awards. So obviously Michelin must be looking for something different than all of us know.
And this, I should probably know this, but once you're a Michelin city, do they keep coming back every year and doing this?
Yes.
Then once you're in, you're in?
Yes. And they actually come a few times a year. So that's why, like, this was also a little surprise. They did this twice this summer. They added in July 10 restaurants to the recommended list. And then in September, they added 6 more to the recommended list. So everyone thought, like, okay, why are they adding so many to the list? And then they said, well, we're adding more that we thought were worthy. And then, you know, in come award time, if there's any that are going to bump up to one star, we will do that. But that's not what happened. You know, they didn't bump up any of them from that Michelin recommended list to the one star. So who knows? But I mean, now there's 77 restaurants in Vancouver that are part of the Michelin Guide, which is a fair number. So anybody who coming to Vancouver, or, you know, locals too, if you want to eat at the Michelin Guide restaurants, first of all, good luck, because I'm sure that every restaurant tonight is completely full in Vancouver from the awards. Just even for the restaurants that were awarded last year, they, you know, they're repeat awarded for this year. They're all going to be really, really busy this weekend, because right away, like, everybody was, I want to eat at the Michelin Guide. You know, of course, I want to support them. So if they had reservations yesterday, they for sure don't today. But, you know, but it takes time, like, because you can get in, because I sent somebody to a restaurant last week and I said, you know, you're good luck. You're never going to get in. It's going to take you like weeks to get a reservation. And they called up and somebody had a cancellation. They got in right away. So you never know. You never know.
You just never know. A really interesting list, and looking at kind of behind the scenes. Richard, we'll leave it there, but thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.